Welcome back, everybody. 3 o'clock on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello out as he gets set for the Aztecs taking on California Baptist.
Good job. Good job. We've been really nice to
them. We have. CBU, if you will.
It's really much easier to call them Cal Baptist.
It
That's
is.
Not their name.
They don't want that, though.
No.
We're trying to be respectful.
Yes.
So Chris is off. It's just me and Scraby the rest of the way. Now, we mentioned LeBron a little bit earlier as we talked a little West Side Connect, a.k.a. Dalton Connect.
Yes.
And his 9-3s. LeBron's apparently taking a breather from social media.
Oh, really?
Yes. And, you know, why does Rich Kleinman sound so familiar?
I think he's an agent.
Okay.
Let me Google it.
Google it. Because Rich Kleinman posted something on X today. And this is what he said. With so much hate and negativity in the world today, it is confused.
He's an agent of Kevin Durant.
It confuses me why some of national sports media still think the best way to cover sports is through negative takes. We can all acknowledge that sports is the last part of society that is universally brings people together. So why can't the coverage do the same? It's only clickbait when you say it. When the platform is so big, you can make the change and allow us all an escape from real-life negativity. I, for one, find it all a waste of breath. The Olympics and JJ and Bron's, I assume he's talking about JJ Redick and Bron's podcast show, was the future of what this can and should all be. Now, the Olympics part, I certainly understand. I mean, when you had, Tirico was doing it?
Yes.
Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
It was a positive kind of vibe. There were no really takes. It wasn't a bunch of talking heads on there. And then oftentimes when we listen to J.J. Redick and Bron's podcast, it was really about X's and O's and how they saw the game. They really weren't talking negatively about anybody in those. And so the question I asked you, Scrape, is do you think this is the way that we should be headed? Because right now it is over. I think we could all agree it's oversaturated with a bunch of hot takes.
Yes.
And usually hot takes, I mean, by its own definition, are usually on the negative side. I guess there can be some positive hot takes. But most
it's
of them.
It's not called a hot take, though.
Those aren't the ones that get you to click. I'm guilty of this, too. It's typically the negative ones.
I can think of one reporter, I'm not going to name them, they're a 49ers reporter, but they are known for their negative takes. And I was watching his clips this morning about Brock Purdy. Every week it's different with him. Purdy's a great quarterback. Brock Purdy's a terrible quarterback. I have to feel like eventually this shtick is going to turn on him, because we get people all the time that tell us they like our show because we're real about things. And we're not hate. Well, I'm a hater, but we're.
He had to catch himself in mid-sentence.
Yeah, I had to. But they like it that we will tell it like it is, and we will criticize a player when need to be criticized. We will celebrate a player
for the record
when we need to celebrate.
Livy Dunn does not seem to be in the building, because I know that was something at the forefront of your mind. She's not in the 3-shot feed right now.
They all look like they're getting mugshots right now.
You know my man Chris Sale is getting old, because the camera is below his chin, and so you're looking up his nostrils. Typical old man spot
that
where
is,
you set the camera.
Zach Wheeler kind of has that.
He's
camera
got a little
going
bit.
On, too.
He's not quite as old, so it's not as low.
Yeah,
you're
that's
not looking
true.
Up his nose.
There might be like a shoebox underneath his computer.
Yeah, he must be in his game room, because he's got a clean white wall behind him, meaning his wife hasn't been able to infiltrate that building yet at all.
We'll tell you who won the Cy Young, but
we'll get to that. Yeah,
I do think being positive works. People criticize me because I'm not negative enough about the Padres, but I'm negative when I feel negative, when I feel like I need to say something's
yes,
negative. I'm not someone who's going to make stuff up just so I can get people talking. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. And if it's positive, it's going to be positive. And honestly, Tony, I don't get super negative about sports anymore. It's just not me. I will get in my own feelings about certain things, but I don't let it get to the point where I have to hate someone else in order to make a living.
I don't see it ever changing. I don't see it ever turning into
Well, that will never go away. Totally.
No, there's definitely a lot of it right now. It's the way to get seen. You say something off the wall.
You get the clicks. Don't click.
No, they've got to click. It's just
no,
it,
don't
it's
click.
In our, it's in our nature.
No, don't click. I'm telling you, if you don't like this person's take, don't comment. You're giving them power by commenting.
Very true.
You make them powerless
if you don't click.
When I woke up one morning and I had a message from a guy saying, you have the worst voice for radio and you have a bad face too, I went back
at him.
And
he went with the old face for radio take, huh?
Yeah, bad voice too. But I went back at him, and then you know what I felt later? Because he just sent me laughing emojis. And I'm
he
like,
won.
Exactly.
He won. As soon as you saw the laughing emoji... He won.
And it stayed with me for about a week because I hate losing those battles.
You gave him the upper hand.
And that was the mistake. Yeah. So if you don't like someone out there, don't interact, and it will help push them out of your algorithm.
Speaking of that, I know this is completely off subject. Did you see the new little feature that IG has?
No.
Where you can basically reset your whole... Shebang bang.
The feed.
The feed. Yeah, like you know how.
You could reset the algorithm.
Reset the algorithm.
Oh,
how about that?
That's kind of cool because you get stuck in some weird algorithms. You click on a sundress one day, and all of a sudden you're getting sundresses. Okay. I'm tired of looking at the sundresses. I got a bunch of sunglasses.
Why are you clicking on sundresses, dude? You don't wear dresses?
At the time, no, I don't. But at the time, I was dating someone, and I was like, I wonder if how much these things cost. And then I looked. So now I get a bunch of sundresses.
How much these things cost, huh?
You know what Hinge did that I thought was really cool, which Hinge is a dating app, is they did something similar where you could reset your who you've interacted with. So if you've interacted with someone 3 years ago, they could be back in your feed if they're still on the app. So.
It's a great transition. I think we should go ahead and get to some Daily Gambit.
No.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
I got to say, before you read whatever you got to read for Daily Gambit, I don't know what kind of chair Chris Sell is in.
It's weird.
It looks like
an iron lung surrounding him. It's wicker. It's way bigger than he is.
It looks like he got this from like a castle. With a bunch of knights in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
yes it does.
It has that kind of feel to it. All right, we're getting closer and closer to the Cy Young Award. We'll get to that in a second. Scraby, go ahead. Well, before we do that.
We need to deliver Roki Sasaki news.
By the way, it's not really Roki Sasaki news. I mean, it is, but I told you guys this yesterday. Basically, it looks like they're going to post him after the second. Which
is good for us.
Which is good for the Padres.
Because the Padres will have $6-something million instead of $2,200.
It's not official, but it looks that way. As I said yesterday. Go ahead, Scrap.
As I said yesterday. By the way, stop with the sundresses, people on the chat. I don't wear them.
He said, how much do they cost?
It was very expensive, I gotta say. I did not expect a sundress to cost that much money.
Oh, man, you are hilarious, dude.
Baseball cover. Oh, you already read that because of the iPhone 16 Pro. Let's start with Miami of Ohio and Northern Illinois last night. Miami of Ohio was 2-point favorites over the Huskies. We both chose Miami of Ohio. We both won because they 20-9.
Nice.
Yes. Lakers minus 11. We both chose the Lakers. And the Lakers won over the Jazz, but they only won by 6.
Yeah, we took our foot off the pedal.
JJ feel about that?
JJ probably wasn't happy about it, which I love. He's probably going to let him know about it. But West Side Connect was killing it yesterday.
Dallas minus 12.5 over the New Orleans Pelicans. We both chose New Orleans.
Why did we choose New Orleans?
Because Luka's struggling and... I don't know.
I clearly wasn't paying attention.
But Dallas won big, 132-91. Not even close. Not even close. And then the final game was the Cavs and the Celtics over under 235.5 total points. You went under. I went over. Just barely went over. 120-117.
1-3 for me, 2-2 for you.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Now, we were just talking about head coaches, next head coaches in the NFL, Deion Sanders. I will tell you, the odds that I have for next NFL head coaches do not include Deion Sanders. So they must know that he has firmly entrenched his kickstand into the ground, Tony. Who do you think is number one right now as the next head coach?
Should I list
the names?
Give the names first.
All right. In order of the best odds, or the lowest odds to the highest odds,
you're probably going to have to give where they're from, because some people aren't going to know where
Bobby Slowick is the Texans' offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, Lions' offensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel, former Titans head coach, Bill Belichick, enough said, Aaron Glenn, Detroit Lions' defensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, the New Orleans Saints' offensive coordinator, and then Frank Smith, had no idea, Dolphins offensive coordinator, Brian Flores, Vikings defensive coordinator, and then Lou Anarumo, Bengals defensive coordinator. They go from anywhere, Bobby Slowick, +350, to Lou Anarumo, +2,000. Bill Belichick, +900. Mike Vrabel, +600.
My number one on there is Bill Belichick. Two would be Mike Vrabel. Vrabel. God. After that, I don't know.
I think I'm going to go with
Aaron Glenn, maybe? Detroit?
Yeah. I think Ben Johnson. If he wants a job, he's going to get a job.
Didn't he turn down one before? Like the coach job, wasn't it?
It was an interview, but he said he withdrew his name from the position, maybe even been the Chargers, because he wanted to stay one more year with the Lions. I'm going to say Ben Johnson is the next one of the next head coaches in the NFL. I don't know how
this bet won't pay off for quite a while, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we'll forget all about this, and I recorded it anyway for no reason at all. All right, next bet, the Hawks, Adam Klug's team, against my team, the Warriors. Warriors are 10-3, which is surprising to me.
Yeah,
Warriors are favored in this game, Tony, by 7.5 points.
Yeah, I'll take the Warriors.
Are the Hawks doing the Hawks thing where they just score a bunch of points and don't play defense, or?
No, they don't. They answer your question, no, they don't play defense.
Okay, they don't play defense. I'll go with Warriors then, too. And by the way, we never talked about this. Geno Smith did the Steph Curry night-night thing after he scored that touchdown. And it built a fire in me again to hate those Seahawks.
Unfortunately, it didn't build a fire in your team. Night-night Niners.
Still bothers me.
Good night.
Last one. Knicks and the Suns tonight in Phoenix. The Knicks are favored by 4.5 points. I'll go first. I will take the Suns at home. +4.5. Tony?
I'm sorry.
Sleeping?
That was 49ers.
You sleeping?
49ers,
oh, okay.
Sleeping. give me the Knicks.
Knicks.
You know the New York Knicks?
Yes. Someone on the chat is named Karen Skeens, Paul's mom, and so I had to double check that real quick, and then I realized it's fake.
You thought she was coming for you, too.
I was just like, whoa, that's kind of weird. You're going to go with the Knicks. I'm going to go with the Suns, and that's about it. Tomorrow night we have Thursday Night Football. There's just a bunch of NBA games tonight. Yeah, not much to bet on, so there you go.
You said that yesterday, and we managed to pull out 4 bets.
Yeah, but are they good bets?
Of course they were. They were some marquee matchups yesterday.
I got the marquee matchups for today. Warriors
and
Hawks.
You didn't get a hockey, though.
Knicks and Suns. Oh, I don't care about hockey. Okay, fine.
This is Gravy. We represent all sports here, man.
Here we go. Hold on. I'm going to go NHL odds.
Don't show off your like of sports so often. Sometimes you got to kind of hide that a little bit better.
I don't think anyone's faulting me for not wanting to bet on hockey, but here we have, we have the Kings in action.
There you go.
Kings and the Sabres.
Oof.
Kings are -1.5 on the puck line.
Give me the Kings.
Give you the Kings. I will take the Kings as well. There we go. We got our hockey bet in, Tony.
Boom. All right. Now we can officially go to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
321 on the-
7 o'clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Jesse Agler will join us in the next segment. Talk a little bit about what Major League Baseball's got cooking. And this particular story may be a good segue into that. Just announced, or just, I think, posted on the New York Post, or the New York Post posted, that Around the Horn, the ESPN show that's been a mainstay since, I believe, 2002?
Oh, yes, 2002.
Will come to an end.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's certainly a show...
This
I enjoy
for them. Not...
I mean, I got to know quite a few people because of that show, right? Tony Kornheiser, Mike Wilbon. Never knew these two gentlemen before. Wait, that's a different show.
That's PTI. I was like, what the heck?
Tony Reale.
Yeah.
He's
it's the one with the reporters that in the midday where
and
he
gets
points.
And that's how you got to know some of the reporters around.
Before social media, for
and,
sure.
And, you know, now they've kind of, faces have changed over the years, obviously, but...
Kevin Blackenstone. Blackenstone
was on there. What's
Courtney
my man
Cronin.
From Denver? What's my man from Denver?
Oh, Woody Page.
Woody Page. He was a mainstay.
Bob Ryan used to be
Bob
on it all
Ryan
the time.
Bob Ryan was a mainstay. That show's coming to an end. I like that show because you got to know the beat reporters, the reporters that are in the specific cities. And it typically was, it was only four cities usually represented. They got someone from the East Coast, West Coast,
Midwest,
South.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah.
But the show will be coming to an end. And you're starting to see a lot of these cuts. ESPN feels like they've been in cut mode for a while.
Cut.
Although they did just pull off the trade. I didn't know that you could do this type of deal. I guess it makes sense. Pulling off the trade to bring in the TNT crew from. From TNT
inside the
NBA.
It seems complicated. I've been
super
trying to understand it, and then Charles Barkley doesn't maybe even want to work for ESPN. He said they're going to have me doing so much stuff that I'm not going to be able to do anything else.
Right now, Shaq's not under contract.
Yeah, so they have
so
to bring
everybody
figure
back. That in first. Secondly, the trade is basically. ESPN has the rights to inside the NBA with Charles and Ernie in exchange for a set of Big 12 games, football games, I believe it is.
This is kind of crazy.
And it's over a three-year span that they get to kind of trade
We're
games.
We're trading media properties
for
now.
Media property. But, I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense for ESPN. They've been struggling. They haven't been the network that they once were. As kind of TV and cord cutting, all this stuff has kind of changed. ESPN has kind of struggled to find its footing a little bit. Now, I think they've done some nice things here as of late, but this is another kind of new idea that I don't know would have happened 20 years ago.
Oh, no, never. I think it would be dead in the water because TNT wouldn't want to share their show with someone else, and they didn't care about Big 12 games, but... ESPN has always been fun, like weird to me because I used to watch it every single morning and they would repeat it until like 10 a.m. and then bowling would come on and I'd watch bowling too.
Yeah, that's where, you know, that was when it was a much easier time. You had to just cover until like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
and then bowling would come on and you had to get there to like 3 p.m.
Yeah, and then you're back
Sports
to Sports
back
Center.
On. Yeah.
But over the years, Sports Center to me has become more of a magazine type show rather than reporting on the sports because I liked Dan Patrick, Stuart Scott saying all those crazy things. And I think Chris Sale just won National League Cy Young. He's 26 right. First place votes.
It's just so everybody can be happy about this. Paul Skeens wasn't close.
No.
Just as he shouldn't have been. He had one second place vote. He got 13.
I got to see who that second place
third
vote
place
was.
13 third place vote. Dylan Cease finished fourth. He got six third place votes. And Imanaga got 7 third place votes.
Chris Sale takes it home easily.
Yeah.
Easily. But yeah, Paul Skeens, that's nice to see that. He didn't win everything this year, Tony. And you know what? She isn't there. So they did. They knew that he was going to win in the first round.
Stop it. Chris Sale has a chance. I mean, I would think he has a chance to be like comeback player of the year, too. Or did he win that last year? I can't remember.
I can't either. I'm looking to see who gave Skeens the David Brandt of the Associated Press. was the one who gave Skeens a second place vote.
There you have it.
Mostly everyone, obviously, voted for Chris Sale. Anyway, ESPN, even their social media has turned into, here's a guy kicking a ball that's 30 yards away and it goes through the hoop. Like, that's not what ESPN is to me.
That's kind of, first of all, I think all of the platforms are moving to what our habits are becoming. That's the things that we click on and the things that we like. Chris Sale becomes the fifth player age 35 or older to win the award for the first time. First-time Cy Young Award winner.
A.J. Casavell had Logan Webb in his, one of the only ones.
Wait. A.J.'s votes are on there?
Yeah, A.J. Casavell. He went Sale, Wheeler, Skeens, Webb, Michael King. And then Bernie Wilson of the Associated Press.
Where'd Bernie go with?
Sale, Wheeler, Skeens, Cease, Michael King.
There you go. Ooh, two Padres, 4 and 5. Faux burn.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is pretty good. I do love that they put these out so
quick. I do,
too.
I think it's so interesting that the moment the vote is over, we get access to who voted what.
I want...
That's transparency. I like that.
That is. On the Scraby Show, I'm going to try to redesign the voting process. I'm going to keep it with the writers. It's going to stay... Because Matt Snyder sold me yesterday.
Okay.
Writers are there all season long.
You got to make sure they have a drop-down box.
You got to make sure they have a drop-down box.
Like
he told us, to make it easy. But he made sense. Like, he's sitting there watching every single game. Players are just focused on what's in front of them.
As they
managers
should
be. Are focused. So I get why. But I think there needs to be some fine-tuning of which writers get a vote. Because, to me, if you're not a full-time writer...
I think these guys are all full-time writers.
But, like... Are they
put in time to be full-time? Like, you know, some of them
are they at the stadium? Are they talking to players every single day? Like someone like A.J. Casavell, who's there every day.
You can make the argument that it'd be better if they weren't talking to players. Then you have no connection to anybody. You just are watching games.
I guess that's true, too. But I would think...
Because we are human. You know, naturally, you start to have conversations, and you start to have conversations more and more with one particular guy versus another.
And then you start liking them.
Yeah,
and...
I mean, that's just kind of a natural thing that I would assume has to happen. I know you do your best to try to not, you know, be partial anyway, but if I'm talking to player A on an everyday basis, and I only see player B every once in a while and player C every once in a while... There might be some bias there.
No, you're totally right. I'm going to still try to redesign the writer, the awards
you should.
Later.
You should. It'd be great content for sure.
Yeah, I did my whole 70% thing last night because Paul Skeens only made 70% of the starts he's allowed to make, and so I went through everything.
You were hanging on to that argument.
I love it. I don't know how everybody else felt about it, but it was like if you're in the Indianapolis 500 and you only drive 70% of the race, Tony. You're only driving 350 miles. That's
Word
a lot
up.
Of miles back to the end of the race.
I hear no lies, my friend. I hear no lies. So, you know, die on that hill, my friend. Die
I'm going to.
Real quick, saw this story, LPGA. Money pouring into women's sports right now.
Yes.
At a rate that I don't know that any of us ever thought was possible. What is it, how much of a pay raise are they are in prize money is being handed out in the LPGA
since 20 LPGA is offering $131 million in prize money over 33 events next year, and this is a 90% increase from where they started in 2021 when they only had $62 million in prize money. But I have seen the women's golf game grow and grow and grow. I'm one of the few that watched women's golf 15 years ago. I love golf. I will watch all the women's golf. They're just as good as the men. And each year, they keep getting more exposure. And each year, they keep getting more money, which is deserved. So.
I'll say this, man. Whether it's golf or basketball, you know, I just saw Caitlin Clark won't play in that unrivaled league, that 3-on-3 league that's being created.
She doesn't want to be a sideshow, I don't think.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, I don't blame her either. She's just kind of the best.
I don't blame her for taking a time off this year. I mean, just think about what she did. She went through the college season.
Yeah.
It wasn't but like a couple of weeks, it felt like, before she was drafted. And the next, her professional career was another circus, basically, yeah. She had to be in. So I don't mind it. But my point is, young parents out there, you got a young girl, athletic young girl. Golf may be the sport if you want to make some good change. Get her started early.
If I ever have a kid, which golf. I hope does happen one day, I will make them play golf, and I will make them play golf. I told you guys when we were golfing last Friday that I could hear my grandpa in the back of my head when I hit bad shots. It's always the same thing. Don't throw your hands at the ball. Make sure you pick up your putter when you're going back. It's just I hear that thing, and so maybe I shouldn't because... Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't force my unborn child. Good, though,
so maybe it worked out. Maybe it'll work out even better for...
Skips a generation?
It certainly can. Listen, I can tell you. Definitely, it definitely can skip a generation.
You played Major League Baseball.
Still. Would have been nice to be doing it at the level my pops was. I'm just saying. Skip some time. All right, let's get to break. When we return, the year 2028, what will TV look like from a Major League Baseball standpoint? Myself, Jesse Agler, Matt Scraby, get into it next. More Gwen and Chris. 3:38, trying to see you around Scrabe's Dome here.
Big old head in front of the clock.
It was like 3:30.
It could be anything behind there.
3:38, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Jesse Agler will join us here shortly. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. Our guy, Tommy DeVito. Did you see what he had to say?
Oh, Tommy DeVito, chicken
DeVito.
Cutlets.
Yeah, he...
I think that's what he's trying to get away from is the chicken cutlets.
He wants to move away from it. He's talking... He's saying all the right things right now. He wants to keep it a business... Football, if you will. He said he's told his inner circle as much that he wants to keep things all about football and prepping for Sunday.
Good.
I like that.
Me too.
I think it just goes to show you how fame can it could seep into the pores a little bit and change you a little bit. I don't think it was intentional.
No, I think he got caught up in a perfect storm.
That's my point, is that fame, those type of deals, if you're not prepared for it, you can get swept up in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, because he was a hometown guy starting for his hometown team.
Sleeping at his mom's crib.
And then all these people wanted to pay him to go some places, and he's like, I got to take advantage of all these people wanting to pay me. And then things fall through the cracks. You look like you're
right.
Stiffing people.
You start attacking your character, and you know, I think,
you have to come back and do it for free.
Right. And I just think it's a good example of a lesson learned for somebody who hadn't been in that position. I think he's approaching it differently. Hopefully that will lead to some good football for him.
We need a Cooper Rush Tommy DeVito Thanksgiving game to look forward to. So.
Well, isn't that swell?
We got a Caleb Williams Jared Goff game to look forward to. That's going to be decent.
Well, Jared is playing like an MVP.
He sure is.
You know what I'm saying?
Some are saying that Saquon might be infringing.
He also is playing like an MVP.
I can't give the Lions anything.
I know. You don't want to. They're your daddy right now.
That's not true because we beat them last year.
Last year. It was last year, though. Right?
We haven't played this year. We do play the regular season.
Y'all might not get the chance to play them.
This year, they're just going to cancel the games before the season's over.
Did you guys play them in a regular season?
Like the second to last week on Monday Night Football.
That might actually be an important game. Y'all might need to win it to get into the playoffs.
I'm not doubting any of that because they're 5-5 and they stink.
So if they beat you at that point, keep you out of the playoffs, do they then become your daddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. All right, let's check some traffic, and then Agler. MLB currently going over the AL Cy Young candidates. Emmanuel Clase, Seth Lugo, former Pod, and Tarik Skubal are the three finalists. We'll have that here shortly. But first, let's get to our interview. None other than my partner, Jesse Agler, enjoying some off time as I am. Jesse, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's got to be Scooble, right? Like, that one's not going to be all that close, I don't think.
I don't think it should be, but, you know. And, you know, based on all the other votes, it probably will go exactly as we're talking about. Scooble wins.
Can I get myself in trouble, like, right off the bat?
Yeah, go ahead. Please, why not?
So I'm looking at the Merrill one the other day, and, like, the line-by-line of who voted for whom, right? And, Tony, you know, you and I both, we are very aware of the media landscape in baseball. We read every person who writes every word about this stupid sport. I can't tell you how many of those voters I had never heard of.
There we go.
You know what's funny is we said the same thing yesterday. The ones I did know disappointed me a little bit. But, you know, that's...
Like I read everything written about this stupid sport. Everything. All season long. And, like, there should not be that many names that were unrecognizable to me. And I'm not trying to, like, you know what, all over the BBWAA, because I think they've gotten much, much, much better in the last, call it, like, 8, 9, 10 years than they used to be with this stuff, you know, especially when it comes to the Hall of Fame. They've kind of weeded out some of the silliness. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, this is these awards, especially now that they're tied into things like draft picks and all that, like, we got to be a little bit more serious about, I think, who's doing this. And, I mean, I don't know. It's their organization. It's their award. But because MLB is using it to determine real things with real consequences, I think a little introspection might be in order.
Yeah, only seven first-place votes seems a little unserious when it boils down to 30 teams. Just saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that particular scenario, right? I think Jackson, as much as we talked about it, and it was funny how it kind of broke down, right? I mean, he didn't really come onto the national stage, ironically, until the start of that road trip in Pittsburgh, where he had the walk-off or the late inning heroics in Pittsburgh and in Miami. And then you come back home and he continues to do the same thing he's been doing all year, but you're not on East Coast time. You're not necessarily having seventh, eighth, ninth inning heroics every single night. And it just, you could, as we played out that season, just you can kind of just feel the air kind of slowly seeping out the balloon, if you will, as we got further away from the East Coast. Because remember, we finished the year, the last 2 weeks was all West Coast, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you would love to say that that's not a factor, but it is. Especially, again, when you're considering who's voting for this stuff, and it's not people who are, like, necessarily locked in on, you know, Major League Baseball every night until 1 o'clock in the morning in New York, when Jackson's games would end. You know, when I first came to San Diego over a decade ago, I would always roll my eyes when people would talk about, oh, the East Coast bias and, you know, da 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 da. But now, with experience and life lived here, oh yeah, it's a real thing. And it's not that they don't like West Coast teams or West Coast players. It's that they are not exposed to them as much as they are exposed to the East Coast players because of, as we just said, like, time zones. I mean, it's kind of like a simple, you know, problem or a simple solution to an elegant problem, I guess, because Jackson should have been, to me, having watched as much baseball as I did this year, I saw it as like a coin toss. Like, if we're being totally intellectually honest about it, I thought it was a coin flip kind of decision between he and Skeens. Very different, obviously, in terms of what they do and how they go about it. But, like, when you really consider the true value of a starting pitcher and you really consider what Jackson did, like, I had it as a toss-up. And so for it to be as lopsided as it was in regards to those first-place votes you brought up, it doesn't add up, and I think that's got to be a big piece of it.
So, Jess, what are we missing? Are our eyes biased? Because we made the point about, you know, East Coast, West, or East Coast bias. But when you look at the vote breakdown, there were plenty of folks here on the West Coast that got to see him a lot more than the folks on the West Coast did. I think it was four guys. Two in Arizona. Was it two in Arizona?
We're talking the East Coast, right?
No, we're talking West Coast.
We're talking West Coast. I did the East Coast counting.
I don't know why. I believe it was two in Colorado, two in Arizona. Are our eyes being biased here? Because clearly the folks here out on the West saw the same thing.
Yeah, I think, look, the numbers speak for themselves. Like, you know, are we biased towards him? Yeah, of course. We interact with him on a day-to-day basis. We both think he's a great kid. You know, we talk to his parents, for goodness sake. Right, so, like, right. Of course we have our own bias. And I'm not going to, like, put any of that aside. You know, but, like, the numbers that he put up, the numbers that are going to be on his baseball reference page forever for the 2024 season and are on the back of his rookie card, those are legit. Those yeah. are legit. And look, he finished second. Let's not act like he was left off the ballot here.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there was a recognition around the country that, you know, he had a great season. So I don't want to act like Jackson's not getting any credit or anything like that, because I don't think that's the case. But look, man, storylines matter.
Yes.
Narratives matter.
Yes.
And when Skeens came out to make his major league debut in May, it was like a really big deal, right? When Jackson made his major league debut, it was 3 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, and we were
right.
on the other side of the world.
Right.
And it wasn't that, oh, all eyes were on him. It was all eyes are on Shohei Ohtani. Of course, the eyes that were actually opened, which were not many of them, because for whatever reason, MLB wanted to play that game in the middle of the night local time. So, you know, just from that standpoint, you kind of got off to different starts. Jackson had to sort of earn the early season recognition, whereas Skeens, it was ready-made, right? It was turnkey.
Yeah.
The very second he took the mound for his major league debut, which I think was at Wrigley. I remember watching it in some hotel somewhere. You know, it was already a big deal. He's got the famous girlfriend. I mean, there's like a million things that go into it like that. And so, yeah, like if early in May, your random voter X in Milwaukee, St. Louis, wherever, you know about Paul Skeens, you're probably locked into his major league debut, which was pretty impressive. You have an awareness of Jackson Merrill, but you're not following him day to day, which of course is much more important for a position player than it is a starting pitcher. And so, yeah, I think you put all those things in the hopper and you end up, I guess, with the result that we got.
Great segue. You mentioned Major League Baseball deciding to play that game in the middle of the night here in the States. Major League Baseball has some pretty big ideas, all really kind of surrounding 2028. I think everybody knows that there has been a bit of a hiccup, if you will. I think that's the politest way you can say it, and how the local deals have ended up turning out. Major League Baseball has this grand plan of basically at some point being able to own the rights to all the teams and kind of divvying up the way the NBA does, right? They sell a bunch of national packages, and, you know, based on the article that I read from Evan Drellich today, the rest would kind of be divvied up. ESPN kind of wants to handle the local part of it. I thought this was a fascinating story, and there's so many different tentacles that are kind of involved with this whole idea. What are your thoughts on this in terms of how this could end up working out in the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Like, I think you'd be very hard to make it that this is not the biggest story in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL.
Yeah.
The NFL obviously is on its own program. It's all national, right? There's no local telecasting. So it's kind of off to the side and doing quite fine for itself, obviously. But, you know, for those other three leagues, there is no more important thing happening right now, because those leagues have benefited greatly from what I think it's fair to call a bubble that has burst. You know, we all remember the real estate bubble and what happened, you know, two decades ago and the changing of the economy. That's basically what's happening on a much smaller and less significant scale with these, you know, regional sports networks, which for a long time were pumping a tremendous amount of money into the teams. That bubble has burst. That money is no longer there. And so, yeah, Rob Manfred, you know, put on his little thinking cap and he's come up with this idea. You like the visual of, like, you know, all right, if we're able to get everybody in the same pool, we can go to the Amazon, the Netflix, the ESPN, the Hulu's, whoever, right? And, you know, put these packages together that we can maybe get somewhere close to the amount of money per team that we used to get. And that sounds great, and it sounds sensible and logical, and it is. It's all of those things. It is also, as I'm sure you guys have talked about and as people have read about, extremely, extremely difficult.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because, yeah, the Padres and the Diamondbacks would say, yeah, cool, let's do it. But the Dodgers and the Yankees would laugh,
right.
You know, and probably hang up the phone before Rob finished his sentence. But that's where it is today.
Yeah.
And there are two more years, you know, before this really becomes a little bit more imminent. And what he wants to do, look, baseball is very strategic the last few years. They don't say things publicly for no reason.
Great point.
This. We heard about the pitch clock years before the pitch clock actually happened. Then it was in the minor leagues, and then eventually it got here. They know what they're doing. You know, he knows what he's doing by having a little bit of like a coordinated media blitz here this week, talking about, you know, 2028 and wanting to do this. So that tells me that maybe the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Cubs and the Red Sox of the world are a little bit more receptive to this than we might all think. I don't have any inside info, but it's going out on a ledge if you're Rob Manfred, who's, by the way, says he doesn't want to be commissioner much longer after
that's right.
that. So he's trying to set this thing up, make it his legacy.
That's right.
That this would be a thing. So he's shooting a shot. He's swinging for the fences, and you know we'll see how it goes. But look, it's really really complex. It's really really fascinating. It's very real money at stake. It will be a big part of the CBA negotiations. Remember, the CBA only two more years left on it, 25 and 26. So presumably 28, when he says all of this could be happening, is going to be part of the next CBA. Are the owners going to use this to try and get a salary cap in there? Because remember, like NBA, NHL, you know, they've got salary caps and basically all the revenue, every bit of revenue, merchandise, tickets, everything is split between the players and the owners. It's a very different situation in baseball where there's you know, different pots go different places because there is no salary cap. So there's a lot of stuff going on with it. I'm fascinated to see how it all turns out. The reality is we are in a moment of great disruption in the cable industry, and that's going to hit those three leagues very, very hard.
I likened it to herding cats because, I mean, you have so many different areas. It does. It seems like a great idea. It is a great idea. But you're also going to have to get the players' union in on this as well, which we know can be a sticky situation. So we got.
Yeah, if you're Tony Clark, what's your motivation, right?
Right.
You're like, all right, if I'm gonna help you down this path, like where is it? What's in it for my guys? And they better have a good answer to that question,
right? Because what we do know is that for years, for as long as they've been having this, players have been absolutely steadfast against the salary cap. And so if it's going to start there, you can imagine this is going to be an extremely tough negotiation. But I think the most important part is when there's a will, there's a way. And you mentioned it. This is a legacy deal for Rob Manfred. So he has a vested interest in seeing this get done and be a part of his legacy as he exits. Jesse.
For sure. And look, he can do it without the Dodgers and the Yankees. He can do it with 20 teams. He can do it with 22 teams. He can do it with 17 teams. And like for the fans of those teams, that will be great. But he's not going to be able to sell it for nearly as much and get in the amount of money that he wants, you know, to whatever streamer or operator that he wants to without, you know, those marquee teams.
One of the things that was said in that article was they think it can get done because it's likely trading, you know, basically trading. Right. Apparently, right now, the revenue sharing is at a certain level that would most certainly have to drop. If you are going to bring along a Yankees and Dodgers who are pretty much printing money because of their own TV rights and owning all of their own stuff to get them involved in it. But at least the way Rob Manfred was talking at this point, he seems to be spinning on the positive side of this happening. They got some time to figure it out. Jesse, as always, man, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with it. I hope you're enjoying some time off finally, my friend.
Yeah, you too, although obviously lesser than me because you're there every day. But, yeah, man, always a pleasure and any time, of course.
Thanks, Jesse. Jesse Agler, the other Padre voice here on 97.3 The Fan, dropping some jewels about this is the next big thing in sports. It's not just baseball. I mean, I think the NBA just came to their kind of deal, or their make. I think they did come to their deal. They're moving to NBC. So this is a moving target right now because, quite frankly, no one really knows exactly where this is all going to land.
No, and this is why it scares me. It's going to end up hurting the consumer in the end. We're just going to have to pay an arm and a leg because they've lost money and lost time and blah, blah, blah. Now, being negative.
I think that is you being negative. I think ultimately, this is going to, if they can get it right, this will be better for the consumer.
Can they get it right?
That's the big question.
Can they?
If I'm the Yankees and the Dodgers, you're going to have to do some seriously.
But don't the Dodgers already have issues with reaching a certain amount of people because they're on Spectrum and not everyone has Spectrum?
I'm not exactly sure of their situation. I just know they have their own network. And
they
for the Dodgers and the Yankees, they're not. It's not going to be easy to give that up.
No, not at all.
4 o'clock hour on the way. Gwen versus the Fans next.